Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Good morning, Lighthouse. Good morning. Hope everyone had a blessed week. Today, we're continuing in our series on Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. And this week, we're looking at the book of Ruth, and we're going to read from chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and if you have your Bible or a device of your choice with the Bible app on it, please feel free to follow along. Again, I'm going to be reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are my witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and called for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The genealogy of David. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart, God, that your heart has been the same for your people before you even created the heavens and the earth, that you've had a plan for us and a path for us to be able to be in your line, to be cared for by you, to be loved by you, to be called by you, to be in your family. You've created a way for us, Lord, to no longer live in the line of sin, but in the line of forgiveness and in love. And so today, Lord, I ask that you speak to us through the scripture that we just read. Soften our hearts, Lord God. Encourage us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about is how God sees the foreigner. Ruth identified herself as a foreigner, and she was right. As a Moabite, she stood outside of Israel's covenant community, socially, culturally, and spiritually. And same goes for us, not being born into the Jewish line. So we're strangers, we're foreigners. But notice what happens here in this chapter. Boaz goes to the city gate to secure her place through legal redemption. The foreigner is brought into the covenant family of God. This is sounding an awful lot like the story of Jesus. This picture foreshadows the gospel. Just as Ruth was welcomed in, we too, once strangers and outsiders to God's promises, are now brought near through Christ, our Redeemer. We were once foreigners, strangers, not welcome in the house of God because we were not Jewish. But something shifted, something changed, and we are no longer strangers, no longer foreigners. Just as Ruth, as soon as Boaz had witnesses and purchased this land, he actually received a wife in this. And through that relationship, through that covenant, through that promise together, it's a perfect picture of what Christ has done for us and his church. This covenant love, this covenant promise. And the application is clear. Like Boaz, we are called to intercede and act on behalf of others. We can, like Boaz, went to the gate. We can go to God's gate in prayer, asking him to bring in our family, our friends, and even the strangers among us. We can go on their behalf. Lord God, would you touch them? Would you heal them? Would you call them to this covenant of love and forgiveness that you've called us to so graciously, with such mercy? Ruth's story is not a love story. It's a story of redemption and restoration, showing us the heart of God for those people that are on the margins. God's heart is for those people that are hurting, that are in need, that are suffering, that have experience loss. This is what God sees. Ephesians 2, 11 and 13 says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I have an anonymous quote here. It says, "You are no longer defined by your past or your status, but by the fact that you are chosen, redeemed, and included in Christ." How are you defining yourself today? Are you defining yourself by your thoughts? Or are you defining who you are in the blood of Christ? I want to remind us that no one is too far from God's reach. No one. If you have ever felt like an outsider because of your past or your background or your failures, know this. God sees you and has room for you in his story. This story of Ruth is a reminder, an example for us that we too are his children, and he's creating a story with us. Are you sharing your story? We were just shared this story about Boaz and Ruth and the covenant of love. Are you sharing your story of your covenant love with Jesus? Have you told anyone? God wants us to share it. Secondly, God honors faithfulness. The people declared, "The Lord has not left you without a redeemer." They declared that over Ruth. They haven't left you without a redeemer. Ruth's story is marked by faithfulness. She remained loyal to Naomi and committed to the God of Israel, even when it meant leaving behind her homeland, her culture, and her security. That kind of faithfulness is costly. Why would God have the heart to redeem Ruth? Because Ruth had the heart to be obedient to God. Naomi released her. He said, "Go, stay here." She actually had two daughter-in-laws, right? One stayed, but one was obedient and faithful and would not leave her side. She knew in her heart it was the right thing to do, because God put that on her heart to do. Is there something God's put on your heart to do that you've been balking on? You've been balking at it for a while? What is that thing? God responded to Ruth's faithfulness by lifting her into a place of blessing, into a place of legacy and significance. The community compared her to Rachel and Leah, the matriarchs of the tribe of Israel. Through her obedience, fruit was produced far beyond what she could see. It reminds me of the, as far as you can see, is all the stars and all the sand. You can't even fathom. We can't see it. We have no idea what God is up to and how great his plan is for us. When we're obedient, things happen. This is a consistent principle of Scripture. God honors faithfulness. He grafted Ruth into the covenant family, and through her line came King David, and ultimately, Christ himself. A person that did not belong in the family of Israel, a Moabite. God specifically said, "Do not marry these women. You are not to marry outside of my people, outside of my covenant people." But they did. And God still blessed it. When we were once sinners, God saw us as foreigners to his people and still chose us. The lesson's clear for us. When we remain faithful to God, and to one another, to the calling he has placed on us, he multiplies that obedience in ways that reach farther than we could ever imagine. I know that in my own life, prior to being married to Allison, I know I gave my life to God, and I was just like, I owned a home, and I had two boys, and I didn't make enough to pay my mortgage, and to put food on the table for the boys, and I didn't make enough. And I certainly didn't have enough to like get them new sneakers and all the stuff that they wanted to keep up with the times at school and such. But I said to the Lord, Lord, I know that you've freed me from a lot of things, and I'm going to serve you. And he multiplied a lot of stuff. He multiplied my money. My bills were paid. I was able, and one of the things I did was, before I paid my bills, I tithed. I gave an offering to the Lord. I said, Jesus, you offered me this, so I'm going to offer you this. And if I don't pay my bills and I don't pay my, I don't know what to say. I'm serving you and I'm giving you my offering first. He paid all that and then came out and then he says, oh, and check this out. I'm gonna bless you with and trust you with. And you're gonna be fruitful and grow. And my family grew. And we've always had enough. My point is this. As I was trying to point out multiplication. God multiplied my money somehow. And I never looked at my bank account or tried to explain how it was working because I didn't care how it was working. I knew it was God's hand. He knows the formula. I don't care. He's saying, love the lost, serve me, and I will make it happen. And I always wanted a wife, but the second I took my eyes off that goal, and stop chasing that thing and just serve God, there she was, playing the piano and worshiping at our church. So amazing. Proverbs 3:3 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Those who remain faithful in the shadows will shine brightly when God brings them into his light. This life of obedience to God is not always easy. And sometimes it's like, God, do you even see me? I feel like I'm in the shadows. And he's saying, I see you. And you're going to shine bright in my light. I promise. You may not see the full picture of what your faithfulness is accomplishing, but God sees it. Stay faithful in your ordinary obedience. God uses our small faithfulness to shape his eternal outcome. God's big picture plan is our little small mustard things that we do. And he takes all the little things of his body and creates his goodness. So if we feel like it's a little thing that we're like, you know what, I don't need to do that. That's so small. I don't need to do that this week. I want to encourage you. That's a lie. Do the small things. Sometimes we think we have to do big things for God. And that's okay. If that's on your heart to do something big, if God's got a plan to use you, let's talk about it if you want, or just You've talked about it with God and you're going to step out. Awesome. But I think in my life, there's a lot of small things that changes the trajectory of what God's doing. And it cancels out the assignment of the enemy when we're obedient with the small things. Thirdly, God includes us in his greater story. The text says, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ruth, the Moabite widow, who once called herself a foreigner, becomes a great-grandmother to King David. What's going to happen by one step of faithfulness, by one step of obedience, by trusting God in that one thing that you're so scared to do? What will happen if you prayed for God to give you strength and wisdom to do it and you step out? What's your story going to be? Can you imagine her heart to not leave the side of her mother-in-law, Naomi, to stay with her, to learn about her God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to stay faithful to that, what's going to happen? Are you going to be the grandmother or the grandfather or the cousin of? Yes, you are. This is the astonishing grace of God. A stranger, an outsider, a woman from Moab becomes a vital part of God's redemption plan. Her story shows us that God does not simply work around brokenness. He works right through brokenness. He's not afraid of brokenness. He's not afraid of our sin. He's not afraid of our thoughts. He's not afraid of our past actions. He's not afraid of any of this. He wants to plow right through it and raise us up. And the same invitation stands for us. No matter our background, whether marked by failure, sin, or shame, God can graft us into his greater story. He used a foreign widow to carry forward the messianic line. He can use anyone. He wants to use all of us. When we surrender to him as king, he wants to use us in a mighty way. This is not just Ruth's story. It is our story too. In Christ, the outsider becomes family. The broken become whole, and the forgotten become part of God's everlasting legacy. Galatians 4, 1 through 7 say this. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. A quote from N.T. Wright. The gospel is not about going to heaven. It's about the new world that God is bringing into being and the invitation to be part of it. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's inviting us into this experience with him. He wants to use us to bring his kingdom. The little things. Planting seeds everywhere we go of love and forgiveness. Because God includes us in his family through Jesus, he can do great things through us, no matter your past. I want to remind you this morning, our minds are lying to us. Satan wants to remind us of everything that we've done that doesn't add up to there's no way Jesus is going to love us. God does not love you. He sees what you've done. That's a lie. He knows exactly what you've done. He knows everything about you. You're not just saved from something. You're saved for something. There's a purpose for your relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this. Ruth's story reminds us that God delights in including the unlikely, that he rewards faithfulness, and that his plan for redemption includes people like you and me. Through Christ, you are no longer a stranger. You are now family. I want to ask if you would just close your eyes with me and bow your heads. And this is just, God, this is just you with us. God, I feel like you're asking us, are you feeling like an outsider? Jesus invites you into his family today. And are you weary in your faithfulness? trust that God is working behind the scenes in your life? And do you sometimes feel like your life just doesn't matter? Well, Ruth's legacy says otherwise. God can do great things through you. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your encouragement. Strengthen us, Lord God. You've called us by name. Now guide our steps. Be a light unto our feet, Lord God, and bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.